Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my star-spangled, maybe not real, coming out of an artwork Gene Kelly's last movie, Fred. I don't know. I got nothing.
How about you just call me your muse? Can I just be your muse?
No.
Okay. I'm not your muse.
No.
I'm not your podcast muse.
Well, maybe. Actually, right. I wouldn't even say it like that.
Yeah.
Maybe. How about just my roller skating friend, Frank?
Okay. That sounds good.
How's that?
That is great, and I am doing pretty great. How about you, my friend?
I'm doing well, Frank. I'm doing well. I was doing better before...
Before this episode is going to happen. Yeah. Okay, we can get to that. Why don't you first tell me what you're drinking?
I am drinking a Down Road from the Beer Co. I'm drinking specifically, that's the name of the company. I think it's
Down the Road, isn't it?
Down the Road Beer Co. Yeah. Down. See, I don't like the way the little.
I see the road. I can totally see why you.
I'm drinking a Rassenmeier Kolsch.
Rassenmeier Kolsch, yes.
Yeah, it's got a nice big giant on the front.
It does, and there's a little girl running away.
Yeah,
and...
I do. I like that the giant's holding the cat, like the waist holding the cow.
I'm trying to figure out, is this like the giant from Jack and the Beanstalk? Like, is that?
I think it's just a giant. A lot of their beer is based on like myths and fairy tales.
Okay.
Like, so they even have a little thing on the side. So it says that giants don't leave their caves without good reason, but good beer has been known to attract the occasional ogre. For those troglodytic hulks, stray goats are a rare delicacy. So a well-made Kolsch is like ambrosia. Drink up, lads, lest ogres catch the scent of your brew and come to share a pint.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, all right. Let's crack these open and
indeed
try them.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so satisfying.
It is a satisfying sound.
All right.
All right. The one you drink first, then I'll drink first.
Okay.
Who drinks first? I drink first. You drink first. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're drinking that beer.
Yeah.
Mm. Good?
Ooh, that's really good. Actually, that has more. So I like a good Kolsch.
Mm.
A Kolsch is like a very light German beer.
Yep.
They're usually a pretty low ABV. I'm looking for this one, 4.5. Yeah, so this is lower, but it's actually really flavorful.
Yeah, indeed. I can tell you what's in it. Our Kolsch is a homage to Cologne's world-famous beer, a classic brew featuring Pilsner malts and noble hops. This crisp and refreshing beer starts with a hint of pear that breaks to a clean graininess and a whiff of fresh-cut grass.
Mm.
This quenching ale is a perfect companion to summer days, yard work, and barbecues, but be wary not to attract any ogres.
This is really good.
That's also an apt description because it is a hint of pear at the beginning, and I definitely taste the grass.
Yeah, but like, it doesn't taste like grass. Like some people say, like, certain teas taste like grass.
But it's got that dry, like the
smell of grass. Mm-hmm. Sort of like, oh, it's really good.
This is really good.
This is like one of my favorite, like maybe my favorite Kolsch I've ever had.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm so glad I got
good
this.
Good find. Thank you.
I'll be honest. I got it because there was a giant on it.
Good enough reason for me. I mean, half the time I pick it based on the label, but like,
yeah,
this is, if it's like, have I never heard of it? Is it a cool label? Cool. Let's try it.
I wanted to do something besides, like, you know, sometimes we get into a rut of like,
I'm drinking a Sam or whatever.
So
this
I wanted to try, you know, like there's those sections of, the alcohol stores that, you know, the beer's not in the case,
but it's
on the shelf.
Right.
You know, and sometimes they're just more interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
Agreed. Williamsburg, Massachusetts. Cool.
There you go.
Cool. Well, yeah, it's, you know, I wonder, things like this make me wonder what inspired this art. You know, what was the artist's muse that made he or she want to paint this particular painting. But then that makes me think of a very specific movie that I like to talk about today. Because today on Beer with Geeks, we are trying out a new, we hope will be a recurring series. You know, we already have the Hit Me With Your Best Shot, right? Where one of us will tell the other, you know, I know you don't like this series or this book or this genre. Here's why you should try it.
Yep.
Well,
we have Star Wars trivia.
We have our Star Wars trivia. Yeah. We have our commentaries that we do. We have a few different tracks of content, but this is a new one we want to try out. An idea we had.
The new Would You Rather section.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
We have, a lot of.
We have a few recurring bits.
Yeah.
You know, the put them in a soccer field and let them duke it out.
Yep.
You know, like we have that. But we haven't done one of those in a while.
No, we haven't.
But this one is called Let Me Tell You Why It's Wonderful. And you have to say it with that affectation. basically, we had the idea that we both like things that are
no good.
Critically panned, right? Movies that have a terrible Rotten Tomato score, or comics that everyone says is terrible, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so we thought, why not one of us try to convince the other one why that certain thing is wonderful?
Yep.
Why we love it. Like a guilty pleasure, if you will.
It's definitely guilty pleasure, and it's definitely not always necessarily geek oriented. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. As I think this
first one is not.
This first one is... Ish not. Mm-hmm. Ish not.
We had much more vulgar names for this series, but we decided against them.
Yeah.
Yes. One that's not vulgar that I can say is, I thought about, like, how about like polishing a turd?
Yeah, that's probably the nicest besides Let Me Tell You Why It's Wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let Me Tell You Why It's Wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yes, you're welcome.
Right. So the first one was my pick.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of this episode, you're going to tell me what your pick is for the next one that I'm going to have to. What my homework is.
Which, to be honest, I revisited mine.
Okay.
After I decided, just about decided, but I had to like double check.
Sure.
And I'm super glad.
Okay. Cool. I'm a little scared.
Okay.
I'm a little scared.
Okay.
Because I put you through watching the 1980 film classic, cult classic, Xanadu.
And I watched it.
You watched it.
All stupid 90 minutes of the stupid movie.
I love it. 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 All right. So let's. All right. So I grew up watching this movie as a kid.
Okay. That explains why you
and
like
I have
it.
Watched it many, many times in my life.
Okay.
I can pretty much recite the whole movie, but more importantly, I can recite like all. I know all the songs by heart. Like I freaking love this movie. It is a musical starring Olivia Newton-John. Fresh off her success in Grease.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is, and this may or may not be true, I wasn't able to verify this online, that John Travolta was offered the male lead and turned it down.
Oh, you know, I had read that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but it also stars Gene Kelly in his final role on the big screen.
What a way to go out on.
Oh, man. Okay.
Actually, he was
great.
He was enjoyable.
He was great
in this film. He was probably the only
watchable
part.
He danced
part
like he.
He was the only watchable part of this movie.
Okay, so let's start with your overall impression. First of all, what do you think the story was about?
our famous segment within a segment.
What like was the story?
What the plot was.
What happened?
What happened in this movie? There's this guy with hair. And he
Sonny Malone
fancies Sonny Malone, and he fancies a stupid name.
Like, it's just like a 40s gangster name.
Yeah, Sonny Malone.
Name Sonny Malone.
Yeah, I just want to be a painter, who drives a car from the 40s for some reason,
for some unknown reason.
Even though he's a barely working artist, he's driving this very nice, expensive car.
Well, but in 1980, that was probably like a beater. It was like, oh my God, he's driving this ancient car that's falling apart.
He's driving a 40-year-old car, but it was a beautiful car. It was not like rusty it was a nice looking car.
Yeah.
So he before the film starts, works for this company that like paints posters of record labels,
yeah.
You know, record
cover
covers,
art.
Cover art, yeah. So he just enlarges them to make them look like bigger posters. And he's like, I'm working for the man, and this is awful, so I'm going to go and be a real artist, and gets it out there and be like, this is hard. I can't do this. So he goes back to his job.
Yes.
And then the whole time, he's like, I wish I was just a real artist. And like, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you just left, and now you're complaining about being back, even though you realize that you have to be back because you need to eat to survive.
It's so true.
And he's just the worst employee in the entire world.
He complains to his boss, who's like he's like the Medici. He's like, I'm sponsoring all of you collective of painters to like live in this crappy home.
That you're actually not allowed to live in. This is just a workspace.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, while all this is happening, some graffiti comes alive.
And they sing about it.
I'm alive, and the world shines for me today. I'm alive, suddenly I am here today.
And they sing about it. It did kind of remind me that when they came alive and there was there was a narrator, right, at the beginning.
I don't think there's a narrator.
Maybe I imagined it, but they all came alive, and I was like, oh, it's like the beginning of Hercules, okay? Yeah, you tell them, girls. Yeah, like that's basically what was happening. And so they all go off, all these fluorescent women go off to...
different corners of the earth.
Men and women, I should say, go off to...
No, I think they're just women.
Is it just women?
Yeah, it's just sisters.
Okay. They go off to... do musy things, and Olivia Newton-John sticks around, and she just walks through walls and does weird nothingness.
Yeah, yeah.
Until Sonny Malone is like, "Hey, a girl! I should go follow her on my roller skates."
All right. Well, hold on. In his defense, if gorgeous 1979 Olivia Newton-John came up to you and kissed you on a boardwalk and ran away, would you not chase after her?
I don't think so.
Are you kidding me?
Nothing against Olivia Newton-John. I think I would be like...
If that beautiful woman kissed you and then ran away, you wouldn't be like, what? This is my luckiest day ever. I need to go talk to her.
I don't think you know how much I hate running.
Fair.
Beautiful girl. I'll find you again one day.
Anyway. Go ahead.
So he tries to find this girl who he doesn't know is a fluorescent painting. And he comes across a man on a rock at the beach playing clarinet.
And
he's like, hey, old man, could you turn that music down that you're playing in real life? I'm trying to find a girl. And that man is Gene Kelly. And he's like, oh, I'll play something different instead, more to your liking. And he's like, that's better.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be best friends.
Yes, basically that's what happens.
Man who's 50 years older, like 50 years older than I am.
Yeah.
Let's be best friends. And this guy, Gene Kelly, is like the nicest man in the world. Where this like guy like, oh no, sorry, man, I said I'd just get lunch with you, this stranger who's playing his clarinet on the beach, but I think I see a girl, so I gotta go get the girl.
Mm-hmm.
And Gene Kelly's like, okay, son, I'll catch up with you later. For reasons.
For reasons.
Why? Why do they have to meet up together again? So then they do end up getting lunch, and Gene Kelly's like, I used to be a musician, as you could tell, because I played the clarinet on the beach really well. Maybe it wasn't me. Maybe it was audio dubbed. I'm not
Who
sure.
Knows?
I'm really not sure if Gene Kelly played the clarinet.
I don't know.
Not.
Doesn't really matter.
So he's like, come back to my house. And it's this sprawling mansion that he definitely would never be able to live in based on what he did for a living, unless he was the most popular clarinetist in the entire
world.
Well,
I think the idea is that he left music at some point and went into some other line of business, and that's how he made his money.
Because
he talks about, like, I gave up art, I quit on art. That's actually, if there can be themes in this movie, that's a theme of, like, art won't make you money, like people who abandoned their art because they weren't inspired enough and whatever else. So that's kind of why Kira being Olivia Newton-John, the muse, is so important. But
okay, so he talks about like playing with Frank Sinatra, right? I think, is that what he said?
Glenn Miller band.
Play with the Glenn Miller band. I was like, hey, Sonny's like, hey, this is pretty good, and guy's like, yeah, screw you. No, and so Sonny's like, well, you should like do it again, man. I gotta go paint records. I'll see you later. And then he has this. Gene Kelly has this song and dance sequence with the ghost of the Muse.
Yep.
Who then they both become ghosts.
For
reasons.
Yes, sort of.
So, like, she doesn't solidify. Like, he becomes like astral form.
Yeah.
And he's like, I learned this from the ancient one in Doctor Strange. like
Benedict Wong taught me this one.
Right.
Whenever you're away from me, wherever you go, you're never far away from me. I want you to know. I only have to close my eyes, dear, and suddenly I'm where you are. You better never stray, 'cause I'll never be far away.
And then they have the song and dance that was, you know, pretty. I mean, it was fine. It was Gene Kelly, so it was great.
So it was great.
Yeah.
He danced better than she did.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Considerably.
Yeah.
And he was like 80.
Right. Well, it definitely wasn't. If he was 80, he looked great.
No, he was probably in his 70s.
Yeah. Even then, he looked great for 70.
No, he did.
Yeah. And so then something else happened with the record and the girl. Oh, and then the guy, Gene Kelly's like, Sonny, we should go into business together because I've decided to get back into music because the astral form Olivia Newton-John came to me and we danced together and I was like, you know what? I should get back into music.
Seemed like a great idea.
Yep. So then he's like, Sonny, you help me find a place, you know, because you're an artist, so you've got an eye for buildings.
Right.
So why don't you help
Painter,
me find a
architect,
place?
Same thing.
Yeah. So you help me find something. And so he goes to, so did he go to that abandoned building before or after that? I can't remember.
He got the album cover that Kira was on.
That's
right. He went and found the photographer and asked him, like, what?
That's right.
Who's this girl? Like, I saw her. And the photographer was like, you know what, man? Craziest thing happened. I was just taking pictures of the building. And then one of them, this girl just happened to be there. And I was like, looks good. I'm going to use this picture of this woman who has not given her permission to be photographed and put it on an album cover and sell millions of copies of it.
Don't give away my secret, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why I'm famous.
So Sonny goes to that building because he's like, you know, I don't know. I guess she must live there. Because, like, that's a logical leap you could take. And then guess what?
Yeah.
Turns out she does. Not only does she live there, she's there and she's singing and she's roller skating.
Why is she roller skating?
It was 1980. Roller skates were a thing. I don't know.
But she was just on them.
I know.
For no reason.
Well, she was roller skating around the boardwalk too. She just likes to skate.
So then he kind of watches her from afar, not being weird, and then they talk to one another.
Yep.
Like, because now she can interact in a not astral form, apparently.
Yep, yep, yep.
And, you know, like, and then they talk like they've known each other for years, even though they've, like, she just kissed him and that was it.
Yep.
For no reason that she, like, the kiss is never really even explored.
Not really explained.
No. It's just like, I just, whatever. I've been a painting for a long time, you know, And he's like, I got to find this building for this guy who used to play clarinet. He wants to play clarinet again and open a club. But, you know, I've really got to go to work. But I hate working there because I want to be an artist, even though I'm being an artist at this thing. But I'm not being a real artist. But I tried being a real artist, but I can't be a real artist.
All right.
So she's like, why don't we use this building? He's like, nah, this place sucks. And I'm like, that place is definitely what you need.
Yes.
And she's like, this place is definitely what you need. And then now I need help filling in the gaps because I can only remember the end.
Okay. So from there, they sort of start dating, the two of them, and he he and
meanwhile, her not mentioning that she's not a real person
at
all.
Not at all. And she eventually meets Danny, who's Gene Kelly.
That's okay.
He never mentions, like, hey, you look a lot like the girl that I used to be in love with. Like,
oh,
that
yeah,
never
that's
comes up.
Right.
Sonny at one point is flipping through like Danny's old albums
and
sees her picture on the back of one of the records. Never says, hey, that's the girl I've been looking for.
They do a song with her in her like USO gear.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Neither of them ever mentioned, like, we're dating the same girl 30 years apart. Isn't that weird? She hasn't aged. Never comes up. And they basically decide, all right, yeah, this place that she was roller skating, this is going to be, we're going to start a club, because Danny used to, you know, work in these clubs and used to own a club and all that kind of stuff. And so, like, we're going to open a new club, and it's going to be Sonny loves roller skating and rock and roll, and Danny loves big band music. And they say, hey, you know what works really well together? Roller skating and rock and roll and big band music
all
at the same time.
We're
going to prove it by having a musical montage where where Danny is hearing big band music in this corner.
Forget about the rules tonight, sweet thing. I want to dance with you until the sun comes creeping through.
Sonny is hearing rock and roll music in this corner. And at the end, the two songs come together and they mesh perfectly.
Forget about the blues.
Mama,
tonight.
Take a back seat.
Sweet
tonight.
Ooh. Forget about the rules.
Mama,
tonight.
Get on my 2 feet.
Sweet
tonight.
Ooh. I want to dance with you.
Got some dancing to do.
Until the sun comes creeping through.
Got some dancing to do.
I want to dance with you.
Got some dancing to do.
I won't stop pleasing you.
Oh.
That was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. So we know it's going to be these two kind of music. Great. What kind of club is it going to be? How about a roller disco? Sold. All right. Let's do it. And then they basically go and they decide they're going to, you know, Danny's going to put up the money and Sonny's going to like decorate. And boy, did he. Oh, yeah. And they go and they go like buy clothes and stuff. And Danny's trying on like pimp suits and zoot suits
and
everything.
That was also pretty funny.
That's one of the best numbers in the movie.
I got a message on the radio.
Then Sonny finds out that Kira is one of Zeus's daughters.
Yep.
She's one of the nine muses. She's actually, I'm not sure how to pronounce her actual muse, Terpsichore, I feel like.
That sounds right.
Yeah, sure. And she is the muse of dance, which is why the roller skates. Also, because it was 1980 and it was the death throes of like roller disco. So before opening night, she's like, well, I have to leave now because my only reason for coming was to make this club happen. And they decided to name the club Xanadu after the Samuel Taylor Coleridge poem. In Xanadu did Kubla Khan a stately pleasure dome decree.
Look upon my works in Trump. No, that one.
That one. Yep, that's the one.
It's Ozymandias.
Yeah, thanks.
People who want to write in and be like, that's not the right poem.
Watchmen.
I know.
Yeah. Watchmen. That's what they sound like. So they decided to name the club Xanadu. It's going to be roller disco, plays all kinds of music. And she's like, well, my reason for being here is gone now. Like, I have to go. But Sonny, I'm in love with you, and this wasn't supposed to happen. It's gotten all so complicated, but I need to leave. I'll love you forever. Bye. And she disappears. And he gets all depressed. And Danny's trying to cheer him up, and he's like, oh, you know.
It's all right,
tough
kid.
Break. Sometimes broads go away, buddy. Like, that's basically what it is.
Like that one I dated that looked exactly like yours.
But let's not talk about that.
Yeah.
And so Sonny, in a fit of depression, goes out for a skate on the streets.
Yeah, he does.
30-year-old men should not just be, like, roller skating around the streets, like, down the boardwalk.
I don't care what decade it is.
But he does. So he comes to the mural that she originally had come out of and sees her, you know, painted on the wall, and I guess decides he's going to commit suicide, and so he decides to skate headfirst into the wall.
Our love couldn't go wrong. How could it end up
turns out, when you skate headfirst into that wall,
you end up on platform 9 3/4.
You go through it, exactly.
Yeah.
And you end up in what I guess is supposed to be Mount Olympus, but looks like Tron.
It did kind of look like Tron.
And he meets Zeus and I guess Hera.
Yep.
And oh, and Zeus, by the way, is voiced by the guy who plays Colonel Pickering in My Fair Lady.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really?
Voiced by the same guy. By George, I think she's got it. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was weird that he said that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, he Zeus is all like, oh no, you can't come to Kira. She must live here with us forever. This is how it's always been. Blah, blah, blah. These are the rules. She can't fall in love. Blah, blah, blah. And he's all like, please, I love her. Now you can't. Blah, blah. So then Kira just sings a song. He's like, all right, you can go. Just this once. Just this once. We'll allow it.
To keep me suspended in time with you. Don't let this moment die. I get a feeling when I'm with you. None of the rules apply. But I know for certain goodbye is a crime. So love if you leave me. Suspend me in time.
But this is after Sonny's already gone. So Sonny leaves thinking that he's lost. They have opening night of the club. He's all depressed still. And then she just shows up at opening night of the club and sings the title song and sings all these other songs and there's all these dance numbers. And this is probably like the one of the best. It's almost like they made the whole movie for this last 15 minutes of like music,
totally.
Music and dancing and everything. That's it, and she disappears.
So that whole number with Zeus, he's like, oh, it's all right, like doesn't matter, but
Danny Sonny's like, well, I guess that's that, and turns around, and then the cocktail waitress who comes to wait on him is her,
except that it's
the
not
end. It is or it isn't, you know. It's kind of,
it just looks like her. It's not her.
Or she became human and she gets to live there now.
I don't know. This movie doesn't explain things, it doesn't matter.
So let me tell you why it's wonderful.
Oh, my God.
It is, it's terrible.
Can't believe I just had to relive it again.
It's so delightful, though. It's so funny. It's so, it's fun.
It was kind of fun. Like, I recognize.
It's cheesy and campy, and it's fun.
Like, I'll give you, like, I know why people hate it. I know why I definitely will never watch it again. Yeah, but there was kind of this weird charm to it,
mm-hmm.
that I, it's like, it's even consistent in its dumbness.
Yes, that's right.
Which is fine. I don't mind that. I mean, I'll never watch it again.
I wouldn't expect you
but
to.
But
I will.
But I am glad that I saw it.
Yeah.
Because, well, one, I've actually known about Xanadu since I was a kid.
Okay. It's famous for being bad.
It's not because of that. It's because it appears very briefly in an episode of Friends.
In
one of the very first seasons. I think it was the first season. Pretty sure it's the first season.
Actually. I'm sure I've seen that. I just don't remember it.
Or the second season. And Joey and Chandler get the comfy chairs.
Oh, yeah.
And they watch TV all day.
Yeah. Oh,
and Phoebe is like, we've got to get you lazy boys out of these chairs. Cue laughter. And they're flipping through the channel, and it lands on Xanadu. It lands on the opening, and she goes, "Ooh, Xanadu!" And she sits down, and Chandler's like,
"She would love it.
She's one of us now." And I've never known what Xanadu was.
Oh, got it.
And I think, I don't know where I learned what it actually was, but I had no idea, like, the Muse thing or Gene Kelly. I didn't know any of that.
Sure.
So why is it wonderful?
I think the main the movie itself is pretty bad, but it's fun enough to watch, especially when you're a kid and nothing makes sense anyway. You're just like, okay, this is fine, whatever. But the main thing, the main thing, the driver of why this is so wonderful is the music by ELO. Are you familiar with ELO, Electric Light Orchestra?
I've heard of them.
Do you know the song Evil Woman? Like all classic rock radio or like maybe. Don't Let Me Down.
Oh, that song I know. Bruce. Yeah.
Those are their songs. They had a lot of hits in the mainly in the 70s, maybe a little bit in the 80s. the main guy, his name is Jeff Lynne. Mm-hmm. He worked with George Harrison a lot, like with the Beatles and with all Tom Petty, Bob Dylan, like all these guys. Collaborated with them a lot, even produced records for them a lot and everything. So he was a big, like, it was a rock star in the 70s. And the band was called ELO, Electric Light Orchestra. They did all the music for this movie. So all the songs that, basically any song that Olivia Newton-John is not singing is ELO.
Oh, that's cool.
So the soundtrack.
Wait, so Sonny doesn't sing his own part?
He doesn't sing at all.
Yeah, you're right. That was weird.
So like there's the one scene I think you're thinking of, like when they go roller skating in that like place with all the different props keep popping up that's they're not actually, they're just like, that's Olivia singing, but it's not Kira singing, if that makes sense. Like her character isn't singing, but the music is just that, it's background
music.
That's
why I got confused. Okay.
Suddenly I don't need the answers, cause I'm ready to take all my chances with you.
And that's somebody else singing there, Cliff Richard. He was a big English pop star that actually Olivia got her start being his backup singer. So that was kind of like a thing of like,
come and do the sing.
Yeah, exactly. Before she hit it big. So that was cool. All the other songs are ELO. And I absolutely like this movie was the movie that inspired the Razzie Awards.
Really?
Like the awards that are famously like, let's give awards to things for being terrible.
Yeah. So this is the first movie to get a Razzie?
It got 6 Razzie nominations. It won for Worst Director.
Right.
It was the first...
See, but the movie's consistent, so it probably shouldn't have won for Worst Director.
I don't know. There were some pretty... The main thing I think that's one of the main things I think is pretty terrible about this movie is how the cinematography is... It is not shot like a movie. It is shot like a stage play a lot of the time, and you just see like off in the distance, here's this entire stage full of people dancing, but the camera doesn't move. Things happen in long, like, I mean, 5-minute long takes.
Yep.
One take, one shot. Terrible. I guess that comes down to the director and the editor and the cinematographer.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Anyway, it won the first Razzies. It was the movie that inspired, I mean, other movies obviously won other categories that year, but it inspired the Razzies. But it also had the soundtrack album went to like number 4 in the US and like number 2 in the UK, and 5 top 20 hits came off that album.
Whoa.
It was a massive smash hit, that album.
Whoa. But the movie wasn't.
The movie like just broke even. Wow. Like I think they had a $20 million budget and they made like $22 million.
Whoa,
so like it didn't fail, but it was by no means a success. And it's become a cult hit on home video, and it's, I mean, you can tell if a movie is a real failure. You know, the most you'll be able to like maybe find a DVD copy of it from like 2007.
Yep.
But nothing more recent. It came out in Blu-ray in 2016. Like they keep putting it out, and it's on digital. You can rent it on iTunes. It's readily available.
That's how I watched it.
You rented it on iTunes.
Yeah.
It's readily available. You can buy a Blu-ray of it. Like they keep releasing it on every new medium because people keep buying it. But the album, it was a major success. Side one, I don't remember which side is which, but one side is all Olivia Newton-John songs, and the other side is all the ELO songs. And a bunch of hits, a lot of her hits, like that she still does in concert. I saw her, like my dad was always a big fan of hers, of her music, and I took him to see her for his birthday.
Oh, that's cool.
A few years ago, maybe 10 years ago. And she still does a couple songs from that album. ELO still does the title song from that album. That entire album, just like the ELO stuff especially, is just some of my favorite stuff. I can listen to it. Like, it's one of those things that if I'm in a bad mood, I'll listen to it and it makes me feel better.
That's good. You need one of those.
So good.
I was interested about the Rotten, because you say, you know, cult, you know, sometimes cult classics or favorites tend to have high Rotten Tomatoes
scores.
I'm
sure this doesn't.
It has a critic score of 38% and
that's better than I thought.
And a user score of 58.
Wow. 38 is better than I thought for critics. I honestly thought it'd be less. I know Roger Ebert. Roger Ebert's always one of my favorite film critics. I think he like totally he gave like one or two stars.
Hey, Roger Ebert gave Revenge of Jafar two thumbs up. So anything is possible.
He also didn't really like Empire Strikes Back, which like blows my mind.
I know.
Yeah. So it's not objectively a good movie, but it's a fun movie. It's got that there's a bizarre in the middle of the movie. There's a bizarre animated sequence
yes.
where Sonny and Kira turn into animated animals, kind of like Madame Mim and Merlin.
Except that the whole movie's animated.
Yes, but they turn into animals.
It kind of reminded me of the squirrel sequence, actually. Oh, specifically.
Sure.
And it was fun. It was cute, but I was like, what? But it was like one of those like. I didn't take drugs.
I know, but you feel like you did.
And I don't know what it's like to take LSD, but I imagine it's very similar to watching to this movie.
Well, so fun fact, that sequence was animated by Don Bluth, who is this guy who did Anastasia and Thumbelina and all these former Disney animator who broke off on his own and started.
Thumbelina and Anastasia are not Disney
they're
movies.
They're not.
Yeah.
As much as people think they are. But he used to be a Disney animator and then went on to do those other movies when he made his own company.
Oh, okay. I understand. Because I understand now. Because you said those two movies and then you said Disney animator. And
well, yeah. So he used to be a Disney animator.
I would write an angry letter
from
to
the,
you.
He comes from the Disney animation like school of everything. Rock. He was there for many years, School of Rock, and then went on to do his to start his own company. And those are some of the movies that he did. So, but Xanadu was the animated sequence there was done by him. It was Gene Kelly's last film. I discovered this today. I was looking at the Wikipedia article for this movie today in preparation for this conversation, and I found out a new tidbit that I had never realized before, and that is that his character's name is Danny McGuire. Mm-hmm. That I knew, but what I didn't realize is that he also played a character named Danny McGuire in the 1994 movie Cover Girl, 1944 movie Cover Girl.
Okay,
he plays a guy who
roller
runs
skating,
who runs a nightclub named Danny McGuire. In the 40s.
Is he supposed to be the same character?
I'm like, oh my God, is Xanadu like a sequel to, like a low-key sequel to Cover Girl and no one knows it?
I think you have
I've
to watch.
Never seen it. It's Rita Hayworth and places a chorus girl who's his girlfriend. I'm like, I've never seen this, but I need to do this now.
I think
now.
You have to watch the movie.
This is like my new follow-up
me.
Now, right?
Yep.
That just sounds like he, I mean, the only connection I can really find is that he owned a nightclub. And I think in Xanadu there is some mention of he ran nightclubs. Because he says, like, I haven't had an opening night since 1945. And I feel like that means, like, he owned the club that was opening. So, yeah. I kind of feel like it's at least a wink and a nod. They definitely picked that name on purpose.
Definitely.
But I can't tell if it's supposed to be the same guy or if it's just like, well, we're just going to pick a name like that's the same as a wink and a nod for his fans. But anyway, in my headcanon, Xanadu is a sequel to Cover Girl.
Unbelievable.
Also, I'd like to point out that we are as far away now from this movie, 1980, as that movie was from the 40s.
Whoa.
So we are at the equidistant point of like looking back. Whoa. Yeah. Yeah. So I love it. I think it's fun. Bad, but fun. If you go into it knowing it's terrible, you know, you'll have a good time. Come for Olivia Newton-John's charm. Stay for the ELO soundtrack.
Or Gene Kelly.
Or Gene Kelly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this was, yeah.
It's
terrible, but I kind of, it's like sadly enjoyed myself.
Yeah.
Even though it was definitely
it's terrible.
Bad. It's definitely bad, but I kind of enjoyed myself.
So I put you through this.
Yes.
I can't help but wonder, and I don't really want to know the answer to this, but what's my homework? What do I have to watch?
Your homework is the, hold on, I got to figure out what year it came out so I can.
Now, is this something, while you're looking it up, is this something that like, you also have a personal attachment to that, like...
Super personal attachment.
Okay, and you're going to tell me why it's wonderful. All right.
Yep, I'm definitely going to tell you why it's wonderful. Okay. I used to watch this all the time when I was a kid.
Okay.
And I just rewatched it, and I know it's bad.
Okay.
So you're going to watch the 1995 seminal classic, Judge Dredd.
Wait, is this the Stallone?
This is the Sly Stallone.
Oh, yes.
Starring,
I am the law.
Starring Sylvester Stallone, Armand Asante.
Armand Asante?
Diane Lane. Rob Schneider.
Oh, I hate Rob Schneider. Oh, and, that's a hate watch part
and
right
Max
there.
Von Sydow.
Oh, wow. This is such a weird cast. Rob Schneider? Okay.
Yeah, well, I have a lot to say about this movie.
Okay.
It has an 18% on Rotten Tomatoes from critics.
I didn't realize it was that hated.
And a 30% from users.
Oh my God.
This movie has a clean, like, 90% for me as a kid.
You put a 90, really?
It's no good.
Oh my God.
It's no good. I just rewatched it. I recognize, you know, like when you love something and you can see all the flaws, but then you immediately, like, you're writing the flaws in chalk and immediately, like, in your right hand, in your left hand, you're immediately erasing them
as you go along.
Like, doesn't matter. This movie's great.
Okay, this is great. That's how I feel about Xanadu. So this is great. This is going to be so good.
Stallone has not one, but two catchphrases in this movie.
Oh, I only know the one. All right.
Yeah, and you'll figure out what the other one is real fast.
I'm sure I will.
The tone is wildly inconsistent.
Okay, awesome.
And yeah, I just can't wait for you to watch it.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. Part of the reason it's hated is because it's not a good representation of Judge Dredd itself. Like, it is and it isn't.
It's a comic book property, right?
Judge Dredd is a 2000 AD comic book property.
Yeah.
It's a British comic. Yeah. I'll get into all this when you watch it.
I know we talked about it at some point.
I think they were like, we talked about maybe comic book, lesser known comic book movies or something like that.
We didn't do a best shot on this, did we?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't. I know it's bad, but I wouldn't like make somebody sit down and watch this to be like, watch this great movie.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like there are movies that you like that you want people to see.
Yes.
Because they're good movies.
Yes, exactly.
This is a bad movie.
Right.
Like, it's no good.
Okay.
Yeah. So, it's on Netflix.
Oh, easy. Great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, it's an easy way to... I did that specifically so you could, like, get to it.
Thank you.
And I tried to pick something that I thought that you might like a little bit anyway, because I knew, like, you picked Xanadu because you knew I would like a little bit of
it. The musical aspects
anyway.
of it, the Gene Kelly, like I thought some things about it would be interesting to you.
Yeah, and Judge Dredd is hard sci-fi.
Okay, yeah, so you know that's...
Yeah, so it's right up your alley. So, yeah, so that's that.
Oh, man. All right, let's do this.
We'll come back to this soon because I'm very excited.
This was really fun. Was this fun for you?
I had a blast. Okay, yeah, good. I had a blast.
I had a lot of fun doing this, and I hope that it was worth sitting through 90 minutes of... roller skating.
Oh my God, it was kind of fun. It was so dumb. Like I 2 minutes into the movie, I was like, oh my God, like this, I'm gonna have to watch this for another 88 minutes. Like that's like, it's one of those things where you're like, am I still watching it if I get up and go to the bathroom and leave it on?
Is it playing?
Yeah. Is that watching
cheating?
It? Yeah. Oh man, what a movie.
Oh,
so
man.
So anyway. And Judge Dredd's only 90 minutes, so it's an equal spill for you.
Great.
So,
right.
Okay. Well, then, so you can find us in all the usual places, beerwithgeeks.com and Facebook and Twitter and Gmail. You can find us at thoughtbubbleaudio.com, where you can find all of our other shows, Academy Rewind, Starkville Horse of El Krypton, Supergirl TV Talk. We have some more shows coming down the pipeline, to which you can all find at thoughtbubbleaudio.com. You can also rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher and all other places that podcasts can be found.
That is correct.
Indeed. So I say then until next time, cheers.